1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hello, welcome to the program. On today's program, we'll have Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun. We're going to talk about week one of high school football. A little bit of preview of the Crosstown Classic this week, maybe what Ed expects. He's going to be over here in Murray covering that. Racer football scrimmage was this past Sunday. We'll get some of his thoughts on what he and I both saw from that scrimmage. And Murray State Soccer will open the season, the home portion of the season, I should say, on Friday. They actually opened the season at Alabama with a 4-2 loss this past weekend. And they get the home opener against Chattanooga on Friday. And coming up on Friday and Saturday, Murray State Volleyball opens the season. So all that to talk about. But before we do, as we usually do, we're going to get you caught up on everything sports-wise, scores and more. Boys High School Soccer yesterday, First Region All-A Classic. Murray High moves on with an 8-1 win over Mayfield. So does St. Mary. They beat Ballard Memorial 5-0. In Second Region All-A Classic, UHA went to penalty kicks and down Caldwell County 1-0. Lyon County crushed Dawson Springs 9-2. One boys regular season match saw Graves County to Marshall County 3-2. Girls High School Soccer, First Region All-A, Murray, an 11-0 whitewashing in Mayfield. Ballard Memorial down St. Mary 4-2. Second Region All-A Classic, UHA over Caldwell County 11-1. Crittenden County doubled up Lyon County 4-2. Regular season matches, Graves County doubling up Marshall County 8-4. And Trigg County over Christian County 4-1. Ballard Memorial, as we move on to high school volleyball, they took down Murray High 3-1. Murray won the first set 25-17, but Ballard took the next three, 25-21, 25-19, 25-12. Marshall County beating Callaway County 3-1. Marshall wins the first two games, 25-21, 25-13. Callaway County took the third game, 25-21, and Marshall County takes the deciding game, 25-16, to win it 3-1. McCracken swept three from Tillman. Graves took all three from Livingston Central. Hickman County swept Lake County. Carlisle County swept St. Mary. Christian Fellowship, a 3-1 winner over Community Christian Academy. Man, all those were close, though. 4-2, 2-2 separating those two powerhouses. They really are in volleyball. And Mayfield over Union City, 3-1. Finally, we've been waiting on this. Murray State Women's Basketball releasing its schedule yesterday. Didn't realize it's the golden anniversary for Murray State Women's Basketball this year. 29-game schedule, 14 dates at the bank. The Racers return all five starters from last season. Over 80% of the team's scoring and rebounding will be back. They had a tough year for a while, but then regrouped and ended up having a strong close to the season, knocking out regular season champion UT Martin in an 8-1 seed game. And that turned out to be one of the highlights of the season. And hopefully we'll set the tone for a terrific year this year for women's basketball. They'll open the season against Eureka College, part of a men's women's doubleheader, November 11th. That's the season opener, Murray and Eureka, followed by Murray State Men and Illinois State. And then they'll host Alabama A&M 3 days later, then hit the road to face SIU November 17th. Prior to Thanksgiving, the Racers host North Carolina Greensboro the 20th, Lipscomb the 22nd, travel to Ohio the 26th, and East Tennessee the 28th. The Racers open the month of December by hosting the Purple Aces of Evansville on the 4th. They'll be at Northern Kentucky December 10th. They return home to face McMurray on December 12th. The Racers close out the first semester with a trip to Kansas for the Wichita State Tournament December 16th and 17th. That's where former Murray State coach Jody Adams is the head coach. And then the Racers open OVC play by ringing in the new year. This is an interesting new year doubleheader. It is a women's tip-off at 11, men's tip-off at 1 against Tennessee State on New Year's Eve day. As the 2016 football season approaches, Murray State senior quarterback Katie Humphreys continues to pile up preseason accolades. On Monday, he was named to the 2016 FCS National Performer of the Year watch list by the College Football Performance Awards. Last week, he picked up a pair of first-team preseason All-America honors from Hero Sports and Instant Scouting National Mock Drafts. A lot of ranking team systems out there, and KD's showing up in virtually all of them. Of course, the Racers open the season at Illinois September 3rd, and you can hear Coach Mitch Stewart. It's our first head coach show of the season Monday night at 6 on Froggy. University of Kentucky senior running back JoJo Kemp and senior center John Toth were named to the Reese's Senior Bowl watch list Tuesday. Kemp, in his career, 1,360 yards, 22nd on the UK all-time rushing list last season, second on the team in carries and rushing yards, and he tied Boom Williams for the team lead with 6 touchdowns. Toff, one of 4 returning starters on the offensive line, considered one of the top centers in college football for the second straight season. 6'5", 310 pounds. He is also on the Remington Trophy watch list, given to the nation's most outstanding center. Wilmer Flores hit a 3-run homer in the first. The Mets went on to cut down the Cardinals 7-4. Randall Grichuk, a solo homer for St. Louis. Jaime Garcia, 6 runs in just 4 innings to fall to 10-9. Cardinals host the middle game of a 3-game set tonight. Jaime Garcia against Jacob deGrom. Our airtime, 6:20 for the 7:15 first pitch. We'll have it for you on 1340 WNBS. Stay tuned. Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun will join me right after this.
Year-long bragging rights are on the line this Friday night at 7 as the Callaway County Lakers meet the Murray High Tigers in the 2016 Murray Bank Crosstown Classic. The Helmets Traveling Trophy is up for grabs at Roy Stewart Stadium in this battle of early season unbeatens. Join us at 5 p.m. for an expanded 2-hour pregame show, including player and head coach interviews. JV and Hack have the call of the Crosstown Classic on 1340 WNBS, Froggy 103.7, and online at froggy103.com.
Welcome back to the program. As promised, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, is my guest. We're going to talk about a lot of Murray State sports, racer scrimmage this past Sunday. Soccer has the home opener coming up Friday, and Murray State volleyball will be opening the season this weekend at the IPFW invite. All that's still ahead. But high school football week 1 in the books. Ed, you covered a game. You maybe covered more than one game. Give us your thoughts on week 1 and anything that jumped out at you.
Well, I got a chance to really take a look at Callaway County and Ohio County on Friday night. That was a really exciting home opener. I don't think it's been a while since Callaway County Lakers had opened with a win.
Yeah.
I think since 2012 was the first shutout since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Barring the forfeit from Hopkinsville. Right. That was in 2014, but 2013 was the last true shutout, and 2012 was the last home opener win. So and it was against a team that beat Callaway last year. So I think it was like the trifecta of everything that went right for the mm-hmm. Lakers did. And it really started with the quarterback play of Jacob Bella, the junior who's also a safety, came up with an interception late in the game. They run a read option. It was impressive to see, honestly. And then, of course, a lot of it also came on the hands of an aggressive defense. Callaway came away with 7 sacks in the second half.
Whoa.
That's all after halftime. Yeah, absolutely. I think they just they got a 12-point lead. They started out really quick. At those 2 touchdowns, a nice catch by Jeremiah Malone, 18 yards right at the pylon, and then a 13-yard rush by Bella, put him up 12-0. And when that happens, when you get that kind of fast start and your defense really starts playing well right out of the gate, that bodes well. And so with a 12-0 lead, they were able to kind of pin their ears back, as defensive coordinators like to say. And so it was a really impressive opener for the Lakers, and they'll look to kind of keep that momentum going in what should be an exciting Crosstown Classic this Friday. And then on Saturday, I had a chance to go to Hopkinsville for the Jerry Claiborne Bowl. And weather was particularly friendly. I think a lot of people were really, really concerned that Saturday was going to be a rainout. As a matter of fact, the Tillman-McCracken game got delayed under so much controversy. And then it ended up being beautiful football weather in Paducah, which that's another story for, I guess, a rainy day.
Okay.
But on Saturday night, I was in Hopkinsville. I was hanging out with Chris Young of the Kentucky New Era. And we both got to see two really just 4 of the best quarterbacks in West Kentucky. It was Graves versus Hopkinsville, so that was Ryan Mathis versus Jalen Johnson. And then the game after that, the nightcap, so to speak, was Caldwell versus Christian, and that was just a straight-up shootout between Colby Lange of Christian County. He's a 6'6" product, hasn't committed anywhere yet. He's a brilliant quarterback, very good player. And his top wide receiver in Kieron Catlett, who's actually committed to Western Kentucky. And then we also got to see Shane Burns of Caldwell. So that was a back-and-forth affair. I think Caldwell trailed 31-26 in the middle of the third quarter, lost a fumble. Christian County returned at 72 yards, and from then on it was just trying to catch up. And, you know, it ended up being a kind of a tough loss for Caldwell again. So long weekend of high school football that was then capped off by watching the racer scrimmage on Sunday night.
It was one other thing on that Sunday Tillman McCracken County game. I don't think there was a ton of surprise. Maybe McCracken won, but the margin that speaks really well for McCracken County, and for Tillman, they may be rebuilding a little bit right now.
Well, I think everybody knew that McCracken was going to be good, and that Tillman was certainly going to be rebuilding, but a rivalry game is a rivalry.
You're right,
game.
Yeah.
The one neat statistic in that rivalry, I think that's the fifth time they've played now, and or fourth time, but every time the road team has won. You know, whoever's coming to McCracken, if Tillman's coming to McCracken, they win. If McCracken's going to Tillman, they've won. It's crazy. It's just weird how it's kind of worked out. And, of course, there's always going to be that rivalry before where it used to be Tillman beating the living crap out of Lone Oak all years. It's just it was just a thing. Like, Lone Oak was a 4A school, but it didn't matter because Tillman was just better. And so it was just one of those situations where the tide has turned a little bit. You know, McCracken, this is certainly one of those years where they can – be a powerhouse in West Kentucky, and they've been a powerhouse the last couple of years with the talent they've had, with like Zaire Hughes, the development of Cash Jones, the newest Southeast Missourian quarterback. He actually committed about a few weeks ago, but he and his top wideout Darian Woods have both joined SEMO. But I digress. McCracken is a very talented team, and I think going into this game, just I think was out to prove something. Last year they lost, you know, 21-7 on their home turf. This year, Kurt Barber, Tillman's new head coach, kind of stirred the pot a little bit before the game, got himself into a little bit of hot water, and that's fine. I generate the rivalry. I love that. But I think he might have come out and said a couple of things that maybe put him in a little bit of hot water, and I don't think McCracken kids particularly. I don't necessarily know if the coaching staff had any talk about it, but I think the kids rose to the occasion. And if you saw any sort of the footage from the first half, they were just absolutely on fire. Yeah. Everything that McCracken did, didn't matter if it was defense or offense, they were doing it right.
One other storyline out of week one that likely will affect week two, and that is Murray High's victory. They had to battle through some rain, some storms, and a serious injury to Andrew Pager, who's out with a dislocated ankle. Say 6 to 8 weeks, maybe season ending, who knows, we'll wait and see down the road. But that's a big piece out of Murray's puzzle as they try to regroup this week with that big Crosstown Classic game at Stewart Stadium. Callaway coming off the win, Murray with the tradition and the winning streak. This is suddenly turned into a pretty intriguing matchup Friday.
It is, and it'll be a matchup. I was going to be at this matchup. We had already talked about it 3 weeks ago. Mike Sunson and myself have always tried to plan at least the first 3 to 4 weeks of high school football just ahead, because we know that Murray State football starting, and I've got to cover that as well. So we need to, you know, we need to have our ducks in a row before things really start rolling. That being said, this kind of does add a little bit of intrigue. We, you know, I think a lot of people have already talked about that it could be one of the closer Crosstown Classics, just because this is a growing and developing Callaway County team, and this is a Murray High team that's lost a lot to graduation. You know, that's just the nuts and bolts and the numbers of it. That being said, the loss of Pager is tough, but I think one thing that is going to add a little bit of intrigue to this game is just how well Murray rebounded. They were trailing when Pager went down, came back, won the game despite the weather, despite the conditions. They had great quarterback play out of freshman Hunter Utley. And so it's just one of those situations where this Friday might be one of the more exciting atmospheres. It's always an exciting atmosphere, but Murray has kind of taken a lot of the wind out of the game. But this is a game that I think Callaway and Murray fans are really, really going to get into. And I'm predicting a lower scoring game, not sure who's going to win yet. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to pick that. It's one of those games that is probably one of the more intriguing games this week in all of high school football in West Kentucky.
Of course, Ed will be covering that in the Sun. Shameless plug here, Froggy and WNBS with a 2-hour pregame show starting at 5 o'clock. This Friday night for that 7 o'clock kickoff. Let's move on to Murray State sports. You and I both were on hand for Sunday night's racer scrimmage. Man, I was all set. I was unable to attend the other two due to a variety of reasons, but I was able to watch this one, and right out of the gate, Katie Humphreys, I think the first 4 or 5 plays, he throws 2 picks. I'm going like, what is going on here? This is a preseason All-American. I talked with Coach Stewart on Monday, and he talked – and I can quote here because I have him on tape. He says, I don't know what was going on. He had some, quote, bonehead reads out there. But then he redeemed himself, and by the end of the scrimmage, KD had looked pretty good.
KD did look really good late. I think he rebounded well, and I think part of it is – we've been talking about it, every scrimmage story I've had to write, I think it's an improved defense. Just more aggressive, just more, you know, attacking the line of scrimmage and really just mixing things up. That being said, these are two teams, the offense and the defense of the Racers, they really know each other. They know KD's tendencies. They know the playbook. I think when KD starts getting into more like game reps and they start simulating some of those scout teams, that he's really going to be able to attack. One place KD was really good, scrambling the football and attacking in the red zone. Those were the two places that I thought KD made absolutely just brilliant decisions, you know. And I know that Coach Stewart wants KD to stay in the pocket more, but there's going to be times where the play is going to break down. I know he wants to protect his quarterback, and I think as the season, you know, moves on, those progressions are going to become a lot easier. He's going to get a lot more chemistry with his wideouts, and they've talked a lot about that, that it's still a very new group of wide receivers. I mean, you have Jesse Blackburn, you've got Stoltz, you've got Jordan Gandy, you've got guys that know the offense, but that doesn't necessarily mean they've been making the catches the last 3 or 4 years. That's been Jeremy Harness, Janowski Davis, Paul Rice, those guys. So, you know, you've got a lot – Navarre Griffin even. These are all new names, you know, new guys trying to get used to these reps. So, but again, I thought, you know, KD didn't make a mistake in the red zone. I think he had 3 red zone touchdowns, all in situational passes, one to Jonathan Moss, one to freshman Tyree Gray. So, there's 2 freshmen right there, out of the gate. Another one to, you know, Malik Golson, a guy that they think is going to be able to contribute a lot of all-purpose yardage for the Racers this year. So, I mean, it is an improved defense. I don't necessarily think the offense has taken a step back. And, again, we still haven't seen the running attack that Racers are going to try. We saw, you know, some Dodson out there. We saw some Demetric Johnson take some snaps, but it wasn't a lot. And they weren't really going full go. Nah. Johnson had a 10-yard touchdown, you know, to the left pylon in one of those situations. But you didn't really see – full speed, here's a running attack, here's the passing attack, and here's how it all fits together.
I know when I talk with Mitch about the running, I think of pretty much both of the running backs, but he pointed out Dodson in particular. He said, you know, still showing signs of rust, takes the running backs coach calls fool's gold. Oh, there's a big run there instead of going where he's supposed to. And that's usually just a sign of just not being used to doing what you're doing in the offense. He believes once that clicks, Dodson, I mean, he has such a wonderful track record behind him when he was a recruit, and you know that he certainly has the talent. So I can't wait to see him going full tilt once he gets some of that rust knocked off. It ought to be interesting. One other observation was from Zach Shipley, who last year was like, he's about 20th on the depth chart as far as receivers go. Not that far, but, you know, he just got in there, didn't play much. And I saw that they switched him to defense. I'm like, well, you need receivers. Why would you do that? My goodness, 2 interceptions. He's had a great fall camp, and he looks good. Suddenly he's a real aggressive guy. I didn't see that when he was an offensive player, and it's going to be tough keeping him out of the lineup playing like he's playing.
It is. I think he's had at least an interception in every scrimmage. I think I counted the other day. He came up with 5 total in 3 scrimmages. Yeah. Who knows how many in practice. Again, this is a guy that obviously knows both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
He knows the offense. He knows where the ball's going. But that still doesn't change the fact if you play aggressive, coming up with an interception is not easy.
Yeah.
And that means you're doing a really good job covering. Now, I do know in the first couple of scrimmages, Coach Boone was trying to get him to learn to play off the attack more, play the zone a little bit better, and kind of back up a little bit and play those receivers on their routes instead of being, you know, I don't know, just instead of just kind of being out of place. I know in the first scrimmage, I think Houston Hearts and KD both got a touchdown on Shipley. Just, you know, they mark it. They're like, oh, well, that wasn't on Shipley. That being said, I mean, I'll take 5 interceptions in 3 scrimmages. I mean, you can make some mistakes when you do some things like that. And that's something Shipley even talked about after the scrimmage on Sunday. You know, this is a team that's really trying to start just doing their part. I think last season they saw a step forward despite being near dead last in a lot of categories in the OVC. But, you know, a lot of that came on 3rd down, tough situations. I mean, you saw it last year, Neil, how many times they'd have, you know, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, give up the big play, you know, 3rd and 6, and not get the stop. And so Shipley just talked a little bit more about accountability and how this team is really trying to absorb Chris Boone's mentality of go get the ball. We just need to go get the ball. And I that's probably just all they're going to say is at halftime, just go get the ball. Like, I mean, you'll talk about schemes, but that's been the theme of this defense is go get the ball. And they continue to force turnovers in practice.
We saw the first depth chart of the fall camp, I should say, released. And this can change game week, of course, due to injuries or players doing better in practice. But when you take a look, you got three seniors scheduled to start on offense and two on defense. And that's a lot of unknowns out there, a lot of new names that we haven't heard of, including if it stays like this, the Racer offensive line when they go to Illinois will consist of one junior in Joe Irby, two sophomores, and two redshirt freshmen. That's a lot of youth to put out on the field against the Illini if it stays like that.
Well, and I mean, even if it does or doesn't stay like that, that means that they actually do have some depth at
yes,
offensive line.
Yes, it does.
Line.
It does.
I know that they've just got a guy, Ingram Tillard from UAB, 6'5", 330. Still got, is Tony Mays on that depth chart?
He is, yeah. He's a backup at right tackle behind Noah Banks.
That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, Tony Mays is a solid guy, came out of Memphis. I mean, that's I don't mean to not talk about the starters. That's fantastic that this is the starting five in my eyes, because then you've got that depth behind them.
Yeah.
And that's going to be key. I mean, there's no question that the Racers are still going to run tempo. That's not changing. And you need 7 to 10 linemen if you're going to run tempo, because you need different schemes. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to run zone rush. You need to be able to pass protect. You need to be able to stretch the field. And I think some of these offensive linemen that aren't starting,
right,
quote, unquote, are going to be able to, you know, contribute right away. And, I mean, it's something in the OVC and really at any level of football, you if you can win the battle in the trenches, you're going to beat good teams, period, offensively and defensively. And so, I mean, you're right. There is a lot of youth and on both sides of the ball, but I'm surprised to see that depth chart be like it is, because if that's got some of the seniority on the twos,
yeah,
I mean, who knows?
Could be good. You know, never know.
It could be good. We'll find out in Illinois.
Just, I think Mitch has said it best. I mean, you don't know until you watch, and you just got to let him get out there. That'll be September 3rd for the season opener. But this week, two other Racer teams, one will open the season. The Murray State soccer team opened this past Sunday at Alabama. Harriet Withers putting up two first-half goals, but in the second half, Alabama, I think they came up with a plan. Let's not let her go wild on us and try to shut everybody else down. They escaped with a 4-2 win, a solid showing for the Racers. This week, they're at home against Chattanooga in a 4 p.m. game. And all in all, I think Coach Groves pretty happy with the way his team performed, and he's looking to get that first win Friday.
I think he was we ended up talking to him yesterday on Monday, and just about – you know, kind of the development of the team, and obviously the evaluation is small. He was hoping to have a second game under his belt in Runston, Louisiana. They were hoping to open at La Tech and didn't get a chance to play that game just because of all the weather that they've unfortunately been having. And so it was a situation where, you know, he had a few girls dinged up from the summer and the fall, and so they didn't necessarily play. But pretty much full go. Having a 2-0 lead at halftime against an improved Alabama team, an SEC opponent, was a great start. I think Coach Groves would be the first to tell you that their first half was sensational. They had Alabama pretty much on their toes, on their ankles, on the ground, confused, befuddled, whatever word you want to put in there. They were really just out of sorts. And then I think there was a good halftime butt kicking, and Alabama came out firing in the second half. And he said that the biggest difference for his team is that they try to keep it on the ground and make it more of a possession game and counter, whereas Alabama went a little bit more vertical in the second half and really just attacked the Racer defense. The good way to put it was they waylaid Alex Steigerwald in the goal, and they just assaulted the goal, basically. We'll just put as many shots as we can against this defense. And so he's looking for that rebound this Friday against Chattanooga. He thinks that they can get it. You know, it's just one of those situations where they learned a lot about themselves against Alabama, and they feel like they let one slip away. And he said that was the difference. He said that he was impressed to see that, you know, his ladies were disappointed in a loss to an SEC opponent, you know, despite the fact that they had a few girls dinged up, they felt like they had a chance to win the game. And so they're going to try to use that just as momentum going forward, and let's take what we did in the first half, see if we can replicate that for a longer stretch of time, see if we can get into some better game shape, you know, just playing that full 90 minutes. And go from there. So Friday's game, pending weather. Again, it looks okay. You know, should be a good showing for the Lady Racers.
Murray State Volleyball will open Friday, Saturday with their tournament at IPFW. A pretty strong schedule, stronger than last year, according to Coach Schwepker. Had some significant losses personnel-wise from the team, but he also has some significant talent returning. Namely the back-to-back player of the year and Scotty Ingram. And I spoke with Coach Schwepker last week, who told me that she really has been motivated by that loss to Belmont in the OVC tournament. And sometimes when you get a player like Scotty Ingram motivated, that may not spell good news for the rest of the league, because she's ready to get that taste out of her mouth.
I'm looking forward to talking with Murray State Volleyball this afternoon, actually. I know that their season starts on Friday, and they're not really at home much.
Yeah, that's just the way they've been lately.
That's just the way it's been the last two or three years. Mm-hmm. You go and you play some of the top talent. To do that, you know, you kind of got to get out of your wheelhouse.
You're right.
You got to go play some of these odd tournaments that are IPFW. I think last year was Oregon. They just kind of go all over the place. But that being said, you know, this is a situation where I remember talking to Scotty last year after the OVC championship and that loss to Belmont, which was a stunning loss. There's no question that Belmont was good, but there's no question the Racers were favored. So it was one of those situations at home, and then all of a sudden Belmont just reels off this ridiculous round of just the entire tournament, just one night after the other, just kept playing sensational volleyball, and congrats to them. But Scotty, After the match, after the final OVC championship, and they, you know, finished second and whatnot, I don't know, maybe she had cried in the locker room. I don't know. She came out and she was very stoic, gave a very, very calm, mature interview. And I'm not necessarily saying that was a sign of anything, but I just remember thinking, whoa, like, this is an intense player. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who, you know, takes this very seriously. And not that the other, you know, girls didn't, because it was obviously a heartbreaking loss. But this is somebody who was like, I'm going to be back next year, and somebody's going to pay. And so I just kind of got that sense, like, you know, 8 months ago. Like, oh, yeah. Wow. Like, you're really just – you're just going to come back in the off season and try to do better. And so I plan to talk to Scotty today. Maybe she'll have that same message. Maybe the message is clear. They were picked second. I don't know how much clearer it can get. Yeah. Belmont was picked first. If they can, you know, kind of rebound from that loss and rebuild through this offseason, who knows what can happen. Maybe the sky's the limit. You know, I imagine Schwepker will probably tell me that. So
probably so. Ed, appreciate all the input. Looking forward to chatting with you again next week. And, of course, you can catch Ed's fine work in the Paducah Sun. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
That is Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun. Tomorrow, Matt McMahon talks Racer basketball on the Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.